Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank God for the word of life, for the word of faith and power. Glory to Jesus. So you're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where lives are being enriched by the preaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. I bring you the word of God this morning in the power of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your word, for illumination this morning. Thank you for the entrance of the same that brings clarity. Thank you because no soul under the sound of this voice will remain the same. Thank you, Father, because our hearts are instructed. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth and what it looks like, part 30. Hallelujah. This is the 30th part in this series. And let me quickly say this. The reason why we have series that run into 10 parts and 20 parts, 30, 40 and on, is not so as just to prove a point. Amen. I've done series that didn't last beyond 2 parts. There was no need to stretch it beyond 2 parts. Do you understand? I've done series that didn't last beyond 7 parts. We can come back to it and, you know, build on that. But then there are some series you just cannot move on. When we did the series on forgiveness of sins, we had over 100 series, over 100 parts in it. Short podcast, 40 minutes, 30 minutes. There was a reason for that. It was necessary for us to study a lot of things in that particular Bible subject. Forgiveness, it's a very broad topic. Amen. We can't discuss forgiveness without discussing salvation. We can't discuss salvation without discussing redemption. We can't discuss redemption without discussing propitiation. You know, we have to delve into metaphors of salvation, all kinds of, you know, different angles that you know, we have to see to consider reconciliation, things that would add up eventually to make sense. Amen. To make sense. So that's the reason why we spend our time carefully teaching, and then it extends into several parts. Amen. So this is part 30 of spiritual growth and what it looks like, and we're rounding off in the next 2 days. Hallelujah. I hope so. In the next 2 days we should be rounding off. I have just 2 more things to say in this particular series. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So in the last teaching in this series, we continue to see how the same words rather could mean different things in different contexts in the Bible, such that a man who is going to make good use of Bible dictionaries and lexicons, Greek and Hebrew lexicons and concordances and dictionaries, is a man that must be ready to investigate the context of usage for every word. Hallelujah. Every time a word appears in the Bible, you must be ready to investigate the context of usage. Not that you get so lazy to a point where you just rely on concordance, you don't study, you don't check through, you just pack all the text because you feel that what makes a powerful sermon, you know, what's raining now, is to just have a lot of Bible text in a particular teaching. That's not it. It's not even a new wave. This has been the approach for teaching for a long time. That, you know, we rely on seeing a lot of verses of the Bible through the Bible to establish the truth. Amen. So you don't just get on the lexicons rather, and then pack all the verses everywhere they are used, and then you just bring them to your sermon notes. You must be ready to study. They are first for study. Amen. And that's the reason when you have a good teacher of God's word, that's the reason why the Bible teaching that you receive in the church itself is the study. Amen. The concordance, the lexicons, the dictionaries are first study aids. They are not for preaching before they are for study. Amen. It is after you have studied, you now begin to preach and teach. Amen. So you don't use them because you want to teach. You use them because you want to study and discover and know things. As you make a discovery of these things, you now begin to teach. Praise God. So there's no laziness here. Laziness will not work. All that is required of you is that you are diligent, you are studious, you are committed towards learning. Hallelujah. You're committed towards learning. Praise God. Laziness will not work. Amen. Yeah. When you see materials, it should spur you to study. It shouldn't make you go and sleep so that whenever you want to go and preach, you think you have a ready resource. No. It should make you study. Glory to God. Even if you have a book where they have explained everything, you should still study. It is first for your study. That's how to use materials. For your study and for your growth. Then you preach and teach from that state of understanding. Amen. So, we saw different words. We saw how the word mind had different meanings based on context. We saw the word spirit. We saw the word faith also. We saw the word ministry. Diakonia. We saw faith, pistis. We saw spirit, pneuma. We saw the mind, nous. And then we saw another word for neo. So, today we'll see two other words in the Bible, in the New Testament, that mean different things because of context. Hallelujah. So, and you know, one of the words I want us to consider today is the word wisdom. Wisdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. The word wisdom, there's a particular word translated wisdom prominently in the New Testament. In fact, all places except for just one place, Luke 1:17, where you find another word. The word translated wisdom in many other places, all other places, is the word Sophia in the Greek. S-O-P-H-I-A. At Luke 1:17, you have another word, and that's the only place where another word is used to used for wisdom. That's the word phronesis. So, but in every other place, just one word, Sophia. Amen. And that particular word was used for men and for God. So you see wisdom used for the wisdom of men, and you see the same word, Sophia, used for the wisdom of God. Amen. Now, at some in some places, the word wisdom is used for the person of Christ. Hallelujah. But that is not always the case. Like I mentioned, it is used for human wisdom. Even when it is not human wisdom, sometimes too, it's spiritual wisdom, but it's not referring to the person of Christ. But a misunderstanding of this is the reason why some folks will find it difficult to relate with the words of James at James chapter 1 verse 5. Praise God. Or relate with Acts of Apostles chapter 6 in verse 3. Acts of Apostles chapter 6 in verse 3 where they said, look among yourselves for men full of wisdom and of the Spirit. And you are like, oh, what do you mean by men full of wisdom? Are there some special believers who are full of wisdom? So we're going to see why that is so right away. Praise God. So let's see. Let's start from places where this word is used for the person of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 24. You know, I've met Christians who believe they don't need to pray for wisdom, or they don't need wisdom. They already have wisdom. Hallelujah. It's a positional reality. I already have wisdom and things like that. But the Bible does not really agree with that school of thought. Amen. School of thought is not found in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Bible says, but to those... Okay, let me start from verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is called the power of God, and he is also the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:30. So wisdom, Sophia, in this place is used for the person of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Bible says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ has become wisdom for us. Praise God. And if you look at the context very well, it's talking about salvation. In salvation, Christ is the wisdom of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why from verse 18 it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So not you don't say the wisdom of the world is foolishness. Hallelujah. And then we say, what is that wisdom? You say, everything man is doing is foolishness. Yet you are using iPhone. Hallelujah. The wisdom of man is foolishness. Yet you are living in a house built by the wisdom of men. Do you understand? The wisdom of men that is foolishness in this context is wisdom of men in finding God. Hallelujah. So he refers to Christ as the wisdom of God by which the world can know God. So the context is salvation. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 7 also. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 7. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Wisdom there is Sophia, the same word. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Wisdom of men, that's the same word again, Sophia. In the same context, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the glory for our ages. So there's the wisdom of God which we proclaim by the gospel. That wisdom of God which we proclaim by the gospel is the person of Christ and his work. So wisdom is used for Christ, his person, his work. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Look at this now. Bible says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. To the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers. The context shows it was talking about the wisdom of God in Christ. Verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So that's the same hidden wisdom he spoke about at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we see that the word Sophia here is used for the person of Christ, the work of Christ. Hallelujah. However, the same word Sophia is used for the gift of the Spirit, a particular gift of the Spirit called words of wisdom. Praise God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8. If you say that wisdom everywhere in the New Testament speaks of the person of Christ, then this would not make sense in the light of 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8. I'll read. Bible says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To one is given the word of Sophia, the word of wisdom. Hallelujah. If you are flowed in the gift of the Spirit well, you understand that the word of wisdom here most times is direction and instruction given to people on how to solve certain issues. Hallelujah. For instance, you could give a word of knowledge to somebody, or you get to find out somebody by this, something about somebody by the Spirit. A particular problem in a family, a particular problem with somebody's marriage, and then you give an instruction, a word of wisdom that will bring about a solution. Glory to God. What to do to get out of it, of that trouble. So this is not Christ, the person of Christ. This is insight by the Spirit of God on how to go about something. Amen. Look at James chapter 1 verse 5, the scripture I cited earlier. The same word Sophia is used for wisdom as per direction. This time around, not as a gift of the Spirit, but something you can actually pray for and get. Hallelujah. I remember that some years back, people had a problem with my explanation of this verse of the Bible. I hope you won't. Praise God. I hope you won't also. James chapter 1 verse 5. Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any one of you lacks wisdom. So I've heard people say, Christ is already our wisdom. Why would we lack wisdom? You see, it's not hard enough because you've already taken a position that Christ is wisdom. Everywhere wisdom is used, it's speaking about Christ. Now, if everywhere wisdom appears in the Bible, that is spiritual wisdom, godly wisdom appears in the Bible, it's reference to the person of Christ, then James will not say, if any of you lack wisdom, because we don't lack Christ. We'll never be in lack of Christ. We have Christ in us already. Christ has been made unto us wisdom as per salvation. Praise God. But a believer can lack wisdom. Hallelujah. A believer can lack wisdom, that is direction. He can lack knowledge of how to deal in the affairs of life. Amen. What do you call a believer who is always making the wrong choices? Huh? What do you call a believer who does not know how to build a home, how to raise a family? What do you call a pastor who does not know how to settle conflicts between people? Whenever there's a problem in the church and somebody comes to complain, he further worsens the matter with his own decisions. What do you call such a man? Such a man lacks wisdom. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's possible a man lacks wisdom. He says, if you ask of God, he will give to you liberally without reproach. Hallelujah. You can actually pray and desire to be wise in certain matters. Glory to God. It's not out of place. There are times people bring issues to me and I say, just give me some time. Because I don't have a ready solution to what they want me to address. Praise God. So I say, so just give me some time. Let me have some time to think and to ponder and to pray. Amen. And at different times I've had insights into how to deal with that particular. So a Christian can be in need of wisdom, in need of direction in certain matters. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 6 verse 3. So the same word wisdom is used there. You find the same word wisdom, Sophia, used at Acts of Apostles chapter 6 and verse 3. Hallelujah. So you don't give one particular meaning to words. Everywhere you see them appear in the Bible, you say that's what it means. You must look at the context to find out what they mean. Hallelujah. Or what that particular word means. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 6 verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Seven men full of what? Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So that means this wisdom is something they could see. It's not just wisdom of God in Christ. It's not just the person of Christ in every believer. This is wisdom that they could see. This is wisdom they could touch. Praise God. They saw how they conducted their lives. They saw how they lived their lives, how they managed affairs and dealt with matters. Amen. They saw that. So this is not just wisdom as per all of us have wisdom in Christ Jesus for salvation. This is a quality, a particular quality that makes a man manage situations and manage affairs. If you look at the situation here, at Acts of Apostles chapter 6, there were those who had been neglected in the daily distribution of food. Certain widows. Amen. And you know, it means there were those who were appointed over that matter before. And they were failing. So they needed people who would be able to manage the same situation and manage it well. And that required wisdom. And they had to look among themselves to find men who were full of this kind of wisdom. Praise God. So that's the word wisdom, Sophia, used in different ways in the Bible. Let's look at another word, and I think we're going to just close with this. That's the word hope in scriptures. Hope, faith, hope, and love. So the word hope is used in the Bible, and then there's a particular word translated hope in many places in the New Testament. That's the Greek word elpis. E-L-P-I-S. Elpis. That's the Greek word translated hope in many places in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Now, the word hope is one of the most misunderstood words in the body of Christ. Because most times people define hope as expectation. Every time you see the word hope in the New Testament, you just assume it's referring to an expectation. But in the New Testament, hope is not always about an expectation. Hope is not always about that which we're expecting, which we are hoping to come to pass. No. Hope is used also in the sense of the things hoped for. Amen. That is the things we were expecting in the past that have now been fulfilled. That's the sense in which hope is also used in the New Testament. Hallelujah. So that word could mean an expectation. It could also mean the fulfillment of an expectation in the scriptures. Hallelujah. The fulfillment of an expectation. The fulfillment of the promise of God in Christ. So let's see. So context to determine. Acts of Apostles chapter 26. And verse 6. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 26 and verse 6. See how Paul says it here. Paul speaking, he says, and now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. Amen. For the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. The hope of the promise here is not an expectation. Paul was being judged for proclaiming the fact that Jesus died and rose again, and now we have, you know, salvation in his name. So the promise has been fulfilled. Paul says, I'm being judged for that hope. Praise God. It's about the things fulfilled already. Acts of Apostles 28, verse 20. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 28 and verse 20. Hallelujah. Bible says, for this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. He called for the elders of Israel and he said, for the hope of Israel, I'm bound in these chains. What was the reason why Paul was bound? The gospel, the fulfillment of the promise of God. The gospel, which is the proclamation or the announcement or the preaching of that which God has done in Christ. Paul says, I am being bound in these chains for the hope of the gospel. This is not about the expectation. Amen. It is no longer about the expectation of the people of Israel. It's about the expectation that has been fulfilled now in Christ. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. I'll start from verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. In hope of the glory of God. Is the glory of God to come, or do we already have the glory of God? Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 to 14. Are we expecting the glory of God, or have we received the glory of God now in Christ? 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Look at this now. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Verse 13 to 14. Praise God. Bible says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we already obtained the glory of God. When Bible says we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, it's not talking about an expectation. It's not talking about us looking forward to having the glory of God. It's talking about what we already have. That hope is a present tense possession, not an expectation. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. So context is very key. You can't just use the word and then, or interpret the word as the same everywhere. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Glory to God. Romans 8, 24. Bible says, look at this. Bible says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. In this particular place, hope here is an expectation. Why? It's discussing the redemption of our bodies. Hallelujah. It's discussing the redemption of our bodies. Verse 23. Hallelujah. Bible says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Hope in this context is an expectation. It's about the future. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 12. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12. Bible says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. Since we have such hope. What is this hope? Is it an expectation? No. It's talking about the present ministry we have received in Christ Jesus, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of the Spirit and of righteousness. Amen. So from verse 7, it says, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, in which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For what if is passing away? For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Hallelujah. Therefore, since we have this hope, such hope, what hope? Hope of a ministry of a glory that does not pass away. The ministry of righteousness and of the Spirit that does not pass away, that does not fade away. That's the hope. It's a present tense possession. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Look at this also. Ephesians 1 18. Glory, hallelujah. Ephesians 1:18, Bible says, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The hope of his calling is not an expectation of his calling. Amen. The hope here is about that which we have received. the substance we have received because of that calling. Hallelujah. In that calling. That which has become ours in that calling. That is our inheritance. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:27. We'll see a few more places and then we'll close. Colossians 1:27. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Bible says in Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, what is the hope of glory? Christ in us. A present tense possession. Hallelujah. That's what it refers to as the hope of glory. So, Christ in you, that is not an expectation. That is a possession. That is something you already have, a fulfillment. That is the hope of glory. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. Christ himself is called our hope. Praise God. This is not an expectation. It's the reality we have now in him. Glory to God. He's ours. He's in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. So you see that, in fact, in many more places that we saw today, the word hope is used in the sense of something we already have, a possession, a present tense reality, not an expectation. Hallelujah. This is because we have more, the only thing we're expecting now is our immortal bodies, new heavens, new earth. All other blessings, every other blessedness that has come our way in Christ Jesus is already a present tense possession. So hope is used in the sense of that which we already possess. The substance, the reality, the inheritance that is ours already now in Christ. That which we can enjoy now, you know, in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So that which is in the future is lesser than that which we have in the present. That which is in the future is lesser than that which we have in the present. We are expecting new heavens and a new earth. We are expecting an immortal body, but now we already have Christ in us. That is larger than all that we're expecting. Glory to God. That is bigger and greater than all we're expecting. So this is why the Bible says we have received all that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. So when we say we have hope in Christ, we're not just talking about an expectation. We're talking about that which we have received in him. Glory be to God. That which we have obtained by virtue of our faith in Christ. Hallelujah. So you see that words can mean different things based on context. In closing, I also say this, with respect to studying scriptures in context. I'll say this, that there are three kinds of context. What we have dealt with mainly in these teachings is literary context. Hallelujah. Literary context. So that is about looking at the surrounding text, the verses before and after the book we're considering and all that. But there's also the historical context. So sometimes we're teaching and then we're sharing from an historical perspective. Hallelujah. Because certain things that are recorded in the Bible happened as events in history. Praise God. So understanding the historical context can help you have a better understanding of what they were saying. Also, there's the cultural context. Praise God. Cultural context. Some of the things that were said to them in those days have a cultural undertone. Hallelujah. For instance, if Peter were to be ministering in Nigeria, he wouldn't say to them, like he said on the day of Pentecost, that this is just the third hour of the day. These men cannot be drunk. That means that the Jews had that custom of not getting drunk during the day. Amen. But you can't come to Nigeria and say that, particularly in some places like Ile-Ife. You know, apologies to you if you are from that place, but I spent some time in that region and I know that people get drunk very early in the morning. Praise God. So that's just an example of certain statements that are culturally relevant. Amen. So context can be literary, can be historical, can be cultural. Praise God. So a good Bible student is one that is willing to find out the context in the which things are said in the Bible. The most important of them all, anyways, is the literary context. Amen. Even if you don't have any material that shows you the historical perspective or the cultural perspective, you can always rely on the literary text and find out the meaning of words. The most important things and doctrines that you have to study would be sorted just by paying attention to the literary context. So that's that about studying with lexicons and Greek and Hebrew dictionaries. In the next teaching, I'm going to show you one more thing that is required of you, one more thing that you should do, you ought to do as a Christian if you make progress, if you mature and grow up spiritually in the faith. Glory to God. And then in the last episode on this series, we're going to see another thing that's very important for you to do. And another thing or two, I'll put them together, that you need to do if you must make progress in the faith. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Let's come and have a great time in the Word of God. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, everyone at all. And let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, in power and spiritual songs. And be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.